On Sunday mornings, we have been studying the book of Revelation, and in that study, we're actually ready to consider the Lord's coming in glory and the destruction of all of his enemies. But today's Mother's Day, and I didn't think I would ever hear the end of it if I preached on the great feast for the vultures, on the feast, the flesh of the armies of the Antichrist. I don't think I could live that one down. So, we'll digress a little bit from chapter 19 of Revelation, and we will consider a more appropriate Mother's Day theme. If you'll turn with me to Proverbs 31, we'll read a passage here that describes for us the perfect, ideal woman, wife, and mother. This is God's understanding of what a woman should be in all of her many roles in life. Let's begin reading at verse 10 of Proverbs chapter 31. Read the description through verse 31. Proverbs chapter 31, beginning at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed in scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Ladies, as we read that, some of you may be saying to yourself and would like to say it to me, and maybe will later, but we can't live up to that. And the truth is, you can't. Apart from your dependence on the grace of God that will enable you, that will transform your life, will make you all that God wants you to be. Little by little, it's a process, but he will change you and make you everything that his grace is able to provide. Even the godliest of women, who I believe there are a few women in my life that I would describe as such a virtuous woman, but even the godliest of those that I consider godly women from time to time fall short of this ideal. But it should be the desire of every godly woman, every woman who truly fears the Lord, it should be their desire to have the Holy Spirit work these virtues in them for the glory of Christ. Your life can be characterized by these virtues. You can experience that transforming power of the grace of God, and others can see it even in the mundane day-to-day responsibilities. Notice as we read this, we were just reading about what this lady did every day. It wasn't that she went around and healing the sick and doing all of the spectacular things. It was in her day-to-day life that she brought glory to God, because she allowed God to work these virtues in her. You can do the same. Now, men, I want you to keep your amens to yourself this morning. And don't ever say to your wife, "Why can't you be more like the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31? Because if you do, they have every right to ask you, "Well, why can't you be more like Christ?" Because that's what you're commanded. Furthermore, men, if you're going to insist that your wife be like the virtuous woman, then your wife may insist that you pay her what she's worth. And you can't afford a woman like this. How many have seen the recent figures that have been given in the news lately of what it would take to compensate for the work of a wife and a mother who performs her daily basic needs? How many saw that? Men, if you had to pay your wife what she's worth, it'd cost you over $176,000 a year. And I would probably have to spend double that, because I'd have to pay for a gardener too. So men, count your blessings. Appreciate your wife. Tell her how much you appreciate her. Thank God for the gift that He's given. This is why in verse 10 it says, "Her worth is above rubies." You see, men think this is something new that they've come up with, figuring out that what a woman does is valuable. God already told us her worth is, you can't estimate it. It's far above rubies. Nevertheless, women who desire to be pleasing to the Lord will desire these virtues to be formed in them and through them. It is something, first and foremost, your relationship with Jesus Christ. Not so much because of your relationship with your husband, but because you want to please the Lord Jesus Christ, you will desire these things to be formed in you. Now, your husband and your family will certainly benefit when these virtues are worked in you, but it must be done because you love the Lord. Unfortunately, such virtuous women who fear the Lord, they are a rare commodity. And we could make a broader statement and say that there are few men and women, individuals, who truly have as their desire and goal in life to please the Lord. And it seems like, and this may just be the fact that I'm getting older, it seems like they're getting fewer and fewer. But may the Lord put this desire in us to understand how important it is for us to acknowledge the Lord in everything that we do. Briefly this morning, there's so much here, we won't try to deal with everything, but I want to briefly summarize some of these virtues that are found in these verses. And I want the ladies to take it literal. I want you to understand this is what God is looking for in you, and you should accept it as that. But I also want to broaden it, our understanding of this passage, to cause us to understand that this passage goes beyond just speaking to women, but it speaks to every man, woman, and child who desires to be in that. Remember last week we spoke on the bridal company, the Lamb's wife, the eternal partner of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, that one day a group of God's people from among believers, they're going to be exalted to a place alongside the Lord Jesus Christ to rule and reign with Him for eternity. Now that place is given as a reward for faithfulness in this life. Every Christian will have a home in heaven. Every child of God will be a part of that wedding celebration. They'll be at the wedding supper. There are guests that are blessed to be there. But only those who've allowed the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit and through His Word to work these virtues in them will be a part of that group. So, men, this passage applies to us. In fact, I believe that that's the overall lesson here, although, once again, the literal should be taken as well for those of you that are mothers and wives. Proverbs 31, verses 11 and 12, the first verses that we'll consider here. Her heart, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. A godly wife and mother is one in whom her husband can trust to be there for him and not against him. The husband and wife should have the same goals in the marriage and for the family. They should work together to achieve those goals that are mutually beneficial for every member of the family. But sadly, that's not always the case. And once again, the reality of broken homes and the consequences of those broken homes are something that should make us stop and ask ourselves, what is the problem? Why is there so much sadness? Why is there so much brokenness? And it does all come down to this. Individuals in those families, sometimes it's the wife, sometimes it's the husband, but they neglect their relationship with Jesus Christ. And when that takes place, it affects every other relationship of life. And you cannot escape the reality of those principles. A godly couple will seek to communicate their goals, and those goals are to have as their foundation to honor the Lord in everything that they do. If the husband doesn't have as his desire to honor the Lord, then it makes it impossible for the woman to trust her husband. The husband wants to trust the wife. Well, the husband needs to fear the Lord. For a woman to truly be the kind of woman we read in Proverbs 31, and men, this is what you need to come away with from the practical aspect of this. If you want your wife to be this kind of woman, you know, a lot of it depends on you. She needs a husband who fears and honors the Lord. Now, when I say that, that doesn't mean that a woman cannot fully please the Lord if her husband does not, because that's simply not true. A woman can fully please the Lord whether her husband does or not. But as far as her role is concerned, as a wife and as a mother, she is limited to how effective she can be based on her husband's desire to honor the Lord. A godly woman will be all that she can be to her husband, but if he's not faithful, he limits her. Ultimately, every relationship with your mother, your father, your co-workers, your children, every relationship will be affected by the condition of your relationship with Jesus Christ. This is why it's so important, your spiritual life. Everybody tries to do it backwards. You start having problems in your family, in your marriage. Oh, well, let's try to fix this problem. Well, maybe this is a problem. You need to start as individuals with your walk with the Lord. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, well, your marriage is and your life is on sinking sand, and you have nothing stable to build a life and relationship on. You need to come to know Jesus as your Savior. If you're here this morning and you've accepted Jesus, and maybe both the husband and wife have accepted Jesus as their Savior, but you have had other priorities in your life as individuals and as a family, everything takes priority over serving the Lord, reading God's Word, assembling yourself together, seeking to minister to the needs of others. When other selfish things become your priority, there'll be no stability in that relationship. Some people, and there are those that have put the Lord first, and they've actually been accused by their mates of, well, you put Jesus first and your family second, and so that's why our marriage is like it is. That's why our family is all like it is. No, no. No, if it wasn't for that faithful one, the sorrow would be deeper. The destruction would be greater. That one is bringing what little bit of hope is and stability is there. So may the Lord help us to understand how important it is. Put Jesus first in your life, and then everything else will fall in place. Everything else will be what God would have it to be, and will give you strength and wisdom in those other relationships. This description of the virtuous woman, as I said, is to be taken literally by ladies that fear the Lord. But there's even a greater, more eternal value to understanding this passage, and it affects every one of us, male and female. If we desire to be counted worthy to be the Lamb's eternal partner, we need to be the kind of Christians in which the Lord's heart can trust. We need to bring Him glory and honor with how we conduct ourselves in every situation and every task. We need to bring Him gain instead of loss. You know, some Christians bring more reproach to Jesus Christ than they bring Him glory. Brother Virgil in Sunday school spoke about the Lord rejoicing over His people. But there are also times when the Lord is grieved because of His people. I want to make Him rejoice, don't you? Are we being faithful to honor the Lord in all that we do by doing good, the good that He has ordained that we should do? May we be busy about His business. Verses 13 to 15, we see some more virtues of this woman, both the literal and the symbolic woman here, or the typical woman. She seeks wool and flax and is willing to work with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. A virtuous woman is not lazy, but willing to work and to do whatever is necessary for the good of the family. Godly mothers who truly fear the Lord will be willing to do, to make whatever sacrifice is necessary for the good of the family. And it's often done secretly. Notice the passage indicates to us. When no one else is around, when nobody else sees what she does it because it's what needs to be done. She goes to great lengths to provide for her family. She delights in doing what she can to minister to her family, her husband and her children. The spiritual side of this is, what is your attitude in serving the family? If you're a child of God, you're a part of the family. This is a local manifestation of the family of God. This family is large, it's universal. But this is a local expression of that family. And you're a part of it. What sacrifices have you made willingly in order to provide for the spiritual clothing and food of your family? It matters. Now, most mothers here this morning would probably not have to look much further than this morning or at the most yesterday to remember the last time they made a sacrifice of time and energy to make sure their family had food and clothing. Sundays especially are not a day of rest for mothers with young children. I could ask these ladies that got up here and sang this morning what it took for them to get up here and sing this morning. But I really didn't want to know because it just wore me out. Mothers often stay up late and get up early, or both, to make sure that everybody has clothes that are not stained, not wrinkled, and then to make sure that everybody has breakfast, because we don't want them bringing them to church to sing and praise the Lord and then be grumpy. And some of our Sunday school teachers know what it is to have crying children be brought to class. A mother makes those sacrifices because it's what needs to be done. I remember that my own mother, she stayed up late on Saturday night, and she loved to iron. Well, she ironed all her life. She was strong. You didn't want her spanking you. She used to flex that muscle quite a bit. She ironed my white shirt for Sunday and also my four brothers. There were five of us all together. And every Saturday night she would polish, with real polish, all five pairs of shoes, and then they were left on the kitchen table to dry overnight. You have similar memories, I'm sure. I remembered that as I was polishing my shoes this morning with that instant shine stuff. That was nice. But my mom, she polished all Saturday night simply so I would look nice to go to church. Mothers make those sacrifices. What about you, male, female? If you're a child of God, if you desire to be the Lamb's wife, this is how real it is. To me, it's frustrating to hear so many of God's people talk about the bride of Christ, and they talk about it as if they're already there. And then I look at their day-to-day life, and I look at the virtue or lack of virtues in their life, and I wonder, do they not understand what it takes? It takes a full surrender of your life. Not just an imagination. It takes a daily surrender. When was the last time you made a sacrifice of time and effort and resources for the sole purpose of providing for the spiritual needs of the family of God? It's a question we need to ask. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians, he's an example for us. He described himself as a nursing mother and as a loving father. He was willing to give of himself that they might have eternal life and that they might walk worthy of the Lord. We need to make such sacrifices. Be concerned about the well-being of the family and do what's necessary, whether it's appreciated or not. In 16 and 17, we read some more virtues of this woman. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself for strength and strengthens her arms. From these verses, we can understand that a wise woman is one who is a good administrator and manager of the family funds. She recognizes opportunities to increase the family's wealth, and then she's willing to put forth her own energy and strength to see to it that full advantage is made of every opportunity. In too many households, there's either a husband or a wife that is selfish in their wishes and their demands. And because of their selfishness, they often bring the family to financial ruin. It depends on which spouse is the unfaithful one in that area. It brings a distrust. You can't trust the other one. And it shouldn't be that way, but that's the reality, because of selfishness. But thank God for godly women who are faithful managers and administrators of the household. That's actually what you're called to. Godly women, mothers, wives, they are responsible for the administration of the household, that it does well and is successful. The spiritual aspect of that, the Lamb's wife will also have learned to be a good administrator of the Lord's wealth. As a Christian, do you realize what we've been given by our spouse, husband? We've been given the treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians 4, if you would. Keep your finger there in Proverbs 31, as we'll quickly be turning back there. But in 1 Corinthians 4, we find that this virtue of a good administrator is something that God requires of all of his children, male and female. 1 Corinthians 4 and verses 1 and 2, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards or administrators, managers of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. That statement makes it clear that there are consequences for unfaithfulness in this area. And the consequences for a child of God of being unfaithful with the family's wealth is to be denied that place of ruling and reigning with Christ as the Lamb's wife. We don't lose the promise of eternal life. That's a gift. Eternal life is not based on our faithfulness. It's based on the faithfulness of God. It's based on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ to pay the price fully. So our salvation is not in jeopardy. But this blessed place next to Jesus Christ, the closest place to Christ in eternity, that's in jeopardy if we are unfaithful stewards. So what are we doing with the wealth of the truth that's given to us? And saints, we're often accused of arrogance, thinking that we have the truth and no one else has the truth. And as we've stated many times, that is not to be our attitude, and may it never be. This is the Lord's truth. We didn't invent it. We didn't come up with it. But we have been charged with keeping it and proclaiming it and sharing it. What are we doing with it? To whom much is given. Quite the opposite of feeling arrogant and like we are so much better than everyone else. You know what, when I think of the truth that I've been privileged to hear all my life and that I've been able to preach and teach, you know what feeling comes over me? It's not arrogance. It's great humility, because I understand to whom much is given, much is required. I have a lot of responsibility, saints, and so do you. What are we doing with that wealth? Are we considering the fields around us, our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers? Are we looking at them as possible fields in which we can plant the Word of God and bring a harvest that will bring glory to our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we willingly sowing the seed in the lives of others that there might one day be a harvest for His glory? Too many times we just drudge through life trying to make a living. Just from day to day, from responsibility to responsibility, our head down, and we just try to get through things. If things go well, that's good. If things go bad, well, probably the Lord's fault. We'll just keep going. No, we need to have our head up and look at this field and look at that field, see the opportunities and buy them. Once again, sacrifice is involved. When you buy something, that means you're exchanging something. It takes time and energy and resources to buy. Buy up the opportunities and plant a vineyard for the glory of Jesus Christ. Verses 18 and 19, she perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She's a seamstress. And the thought behind these verses is that the virtuous woman has confidence that her labors are not in vain and they are not insignificant. Now, if somehow, and it's going to be hard for us because we live in such a modern day. Now, some of the older ones may be able to relate better than my generation and those younger than me, because I'm used to pushing a button and I get whatever I want. But to be able to simply make a garment, you couldn't go down to Kohl's with a 30% off coupon and pick up your clothing. You had to make it. And you couldn't just go to Hancock's down here and pick up a bolt of cloth. You had to make the cloth. So you understand what's involved here. A lot of work. Mundane. One stitch on another. Over and can you see how that might make you think, you know, my life is insignificant. I don't ever get anything done. It's just one stitch after another. Do you see how that mentality can begin to work in? But not in the virtuous woman. She understands that her product is worthwhile. It's a quality product. What she's doing is not insignificant. She's producing not only for her family, but she sells the extra. She understands that people need what she has. A mother is probably the most unappreciated person on the planet, especially by those that are most directly affected by her sacrifices, that is, her young children. When children are little, they don't have a clue what their mother does for them. A godly mother will be tempted from time to time. Ladies, tell me if this is true. You're tempted from time to time to wonder if what you're doing really matters and if anybody at all appreciates it. You think that from time to time? But the virtuous woman knows what she does unto the Lord. And it's for the eternal good of her family. In the baptismal service this evening, we have some young children that are going to be baptized. These are children that have been guilty of not appreciating their mothers. Who have been guilty of not having a clue what it means to stay out of the dirt after you've been dressed in your Sunday best because your mom has got the stains out of it all night long, and then you go out before church and you go play in the grass. They didn't understand any of that. But these children have mothers who do what they do for their family because they understand. These children have a soul. They've led these children to salvation, and nothing else matters. And they will continue to teach them and raise them in the fear of the Lord, that they might be, as long as Jesus tarries, that they themselves might be men and women that will grow up to honor the Lord with their life, to bring others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and to bring others to a deeper understanding of the truth of God. That's why they do what they do day in and day out. They know that what they do is not insignificant. What about you? Believers who serve the Lord with gladness, they perceive that their merchandise is good, and therefore they remain faithful instant in season and out of season. Paul wrote to Corinthians, and after writing about the glorious hope of the resurrection, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Saints, God is looking for faithfulness in each one of His children. Those that will be a part of that glorious company known as the Lamb's wife, they will have this virtue in them, faithfulness. Day in and day out. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what your circumstance. It doesn't matter whether you're going through blessing or intense trial. Your faithfulness to do what is right in the sight of God remains the same. Because you understand what you have is good. This life that you've committed to serve the Lord and to serve God's people, it is a life that will have its fruit. And even when at times it seems like nobody appreciates your faithfulness, you know that the Lord Jesus Christ knows all about it. Verses 20 and 21, she extends her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. A godly woman is a woman who's faithful to look to her family's needs without falling into the trap of pride and selfishness. And saints, this is a difficult balance for us as humans. So many problems arise even in the local assembly because families, both mothers and fathers, are so concerned with the needs and the wishes and the feelings of their own children that they lose sight of the needs of others. But thank God for godly mothers who are able to maintain that divine balance. And it's only by God. I don't have this balance in me. I don't have this ability. But this is God. Thank God for godly mothers that maintain a divine balance of faithfully ministering to their own family's needs without being insensitive to the needs of other families. That's hard sometimes, especially when it's your children. But the spiritual lesson there is every bit as important. Those who will be a part of the Lamb's wife will be made up of saints that have faithfully cared for their own spiritual condition. You can't neglect your own spiritual life. Have been faithful to minister to the spiritual needs of their own intimate, personal family, immediate family. But they've also been willing and generous in providing opportunities to feed and clothe others in the warmth of the beauty and the protection of truth, the Word of God. Do you have that balance in you? Has God worked that virtue in you? It's difficult. Is it? You can't do it. I can't do it without dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. To be faithful to minister to my needs and the needs of my family, the spiritual needs, without being selfish and proud to the point that I neglect and I'm insensitive to the needs of others. Verses 22 to 27. She makes her tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She rejoices in time to come. She will rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her husband, or of her household rather, and does not eat the bread of idleness. Everything a godly woman does and says reflects well on her husband and adds to his reputation and to his success. I don't even know if it's politically correct anymore to say, but obviously I'm going to say it anyway. Behind every good man is a good woman. And that certainly is God's design. It's God's provision. As a believer in Jesus Christ, are you aware that everything you do and say reflects on Jesus Christ? Whatever we do in word or deed, we are to do it heartily as unto the Lord. Men, women, this principle applies to us. Do you want to be? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, anybody can say it. Let the Holy Spirit work this virtue in you to understand, I want to reflect well on the one who died for me. Verses 28 to 31, in closing, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. This is why I believe that this passage goes beyond just speaking of what God is looking for in a woman generally and literally. But here he's talking to one group of people, a body that is symbolically represented by a woman here, which is often the symbolism of Scripture, that a woman is used to symbolize a group of individuals, not just one individual. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Every child of God, every individual that accepts Jesus as your Savior, you've done well. You will bring glory to God because of your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Many have done well, but there will be a group that will excel. Not because they're more intellectual, not because they are just better, but because they've surrendered their life to the Holy Spirit to work these virtues in them, male and female, to be everything that God would have us to be for the glory of Jesus Christ. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. Well, I believe that we have some of the most beautiful older women in this assembly that I know of. I'm a little biased, But the reality is, even the most beautiful of us, I threw myself in there, that beauty fades away. But the benefits of the fear of the Lord are eternal. The fruit of doing the will of God, literally, for women, mothers, children raised by a godly mother, when they choose to follow her faith, and sadly not all do, but when those children learn to follow the same life of dependence on God, with the same desire to please Him, they will one day understand and appreciate the value of the investment that she has made in their life. Mothers, don't expect it now. You're not going to get it. Oh, every now and then, maybe usually after a cookie, you might get a kiss. And thanks, Mom. I've got a little descendant of mine that has some very nice hairdos that I always know when she wants something from Grandpa. She is on my lap and kissing and slobbering all over me, the sweetest little thing you could ever possibly know. And I simply say, what do you want? But beyond that, many times, you don't get that kind of response. Don't look for it now. But Lord willing, there'll be in this life the fruit. But eternally is the fruit we're looking for. All of those, in my own children, all I ever desired, not that they make me proud by being the smartest, though they were, not by being the most athletic, though they usually were, but that they fear the Lord. To me, that's success. That they be ready when Jesus comes. That's what I want for my grandchildren. When I pray for them, I don't pray that they make me proud. I pray that they would grow up to be men and women that love the Lord with all of their heart. Nothing else matters. That they would be willing to serve the Lord and to serve God's people selflessly. Wise husbands of faith will understand the priceless gift from God of a wife who fears the Lord. Hopefully they're wise enough to praise her. But saints, when we look at the spiritual aspect of this, do you realize what it's revealing to us? That one day we'll hear the praise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To hear Jesus say, many have done well, but you excel them all. To hear Him say to us, enter into the fruit of your hand. Saints, sometimes you grow weary in this life doing what's right in God's sight, especially when the world and people and even the church don't even appreciate it. Sometimes you go tired. You need to keep your eye on Jesus Christ. And one day He'll say, enter into the fruit of your hands. Adorn yourself with that bridal gown. Let's close with 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though we certainly are tempted from time to time. But what keeps us from giving in to that despair? Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, for those who aren't familiar with the Apostle Paul's life after he became a Christian, what he calls light affliction is all the trials he suffered for preaching the gospel, including being daily, many times threatened, his life threatened, having stones literally thrown at him to the point that he was left as dead, suffered many times hunger because there simply wasn't food to eat at that time. This is what he calls light affliction. He says it's but for a moment. And it's working for us, not against us, a far more exceeding or and eternal weight or measure of glory. But here's the secret: why we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen, they are eternal. What are you looking at today? What is your desire? What is it you want out of life, saints? What is your goal? I pray that we would truly desire to be a virtuous individual, one who honors the one who loved us and died for us. Phil, if you'll come, and we'll have a song in closing. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart this morning. Let's stand for just a moment. I'm going to ask that every head be bowed. If there's anyone here this morning that has never accepted Jesus as your Savior, it's more than likely it's not that you've never heard that you should, or that Jesus is who He is. But if you've never really made that commitment to understand that life is all about knowing God, and the only way to know God is through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, and to have the only way to have your sins and all of that guilt and all of that failure removed from you is to ask Jesus to cleanse you of your sin and to give you eternal life. If you've never made that step, I'm going to give you that opportunity this morning. I'm not going to beg. I'm not going to make you uncomfortable. But if the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, it's because you're already uncomfortable. It's because you already understand. Something's not right. And you need to be made right by faith in Jesus. If you raise your hand this morning and say, "Brother Doug, I want to know Jesus this morning as my Savior." Raise it high so I can see it, young or old. Anyone at all. All right. I trust that that means the rest of us have accepted Jesus as our Savior. So now we have to ask ourselves, how did we measure up to this standard? The ladies were put on the spot a little bit today, but really no more than the rest of us. All of us are to be measured by this standard. May we allow the Lord to truly work these things in us. Let's sing the first and last verse of 297, and then we'll be dismissed. The altars are open if you want to come and seek the Lord.